Born to Run isn't just a book about dogs, is it?
Well, no, it's not. People have perceptions of how these dogs might be treated or what kind of care they have or if they're even enjoying what they're doing. And I'm really thinking that this book helps clarify that quite a bit.
So when you first went to the Iditarod start last year, what did you see that changed your mind about mushing?
The dogs were ecstatic. They could not wait to run. And I didn't know that. I thought maybe they were being made to run or perhaps forced to run. But they were jumping straight up off their chains. They were howling. They were excited. They weren't cold. They weren't being mistreated. They were, you could tell that they were happy. And I can see a dog smile when I see one. This was their joy. This was their passion. It was just obvious.
Have you been to other sled dog races since?
No, not since, but I have followed them. I hope to, and I plan to, but none are on the calendar at this point.
Okay, so why a book? I mean, how did you decide that that was the project that you'd pursue?
Well, I was trying to think of what could have some lasting value to it, what could have a really strong impact. Starting a blog, hoping some people read it, it's just not going to carry the weight that I think I needed it to. Also, I'm a photographer. That's what I do for a living. That's what I'm passionate about. So I wanted to apply my skill set to this new experience that I was witnessing firsthand.
So all the photos of the dogs in your book have the dogs laying down or sitting. They're all in repose. Why not photograph dogs mid-run?
I do have lifestyle photography in my repertoire, showing things as they actually occur. But from my research, I've seen that that's been done. They've been shot out on the race. They've been shot in the trail, photographed, not shot. And I didn't want to be another one of those books. My background is fashion. It's a very clean, simple look. That my approach was to fashion. It's what comes natural to me. It's what my eye is attracted to. So I thought, what better way than the juxtaposition of a dog that's usually out on a trail or in the yard or whatnot in the wilderness, and let's juxtapose them and make them more of a fashion model.
So you used Kickstarter to raise funds for your book, and your goal was $12,000, but you made more than twice that in less than a week. Did you realize how much support there was in, you know, cyberspace for sled dogs?
Yeah, not at all. No, I had a little bit of a pessimistic view. I thought, well, it's a very niche market. There's not all that many mushers or musher fans out in the world. And boy, I was really wrong. I was happily wrong.
In an email, you told me that you were sending out 600 books this week. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's been a pretty successful project so far. Is that correct?
It's been extremely successful. And the funny thing is, it's not even in the stores yet. It's going to be in a lot of stores and Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the local Anchorage stores and Fairbanks and whatnot through my distributor of the University of Alaska Press. But as far as online sales, website sales and whatnot, we're looking at a reprint already.
So you photographed more than 300 dogs. Was there one that stood out for you?
There's a few, either the real quirky looks that I would get from the dog, the real strong and athletic looks really, I was really attracted to, or the ones that when I look at the photo, I would say there's no way that can be a sled dog, yet I know that it is. It looks like a dog that should be on somebody's couch.
There's a dog named Geisha in one of the photographs, and she was actually photographed to look like a geisha. And then there's another dog named Angel, and he's described as the poster child for sled dogs. And you look at his photo, and he really, truly is. So how much of what happened between the dog and your camera was an accident?
Yeah, a lot of it was happenstance. I was trying to get the character out of the dog, and believe me, there's a lot of characters in those dogs, just like there are in humans. But it was just my persistence and my little tricks that I would do on set of trying to get the dog's attention and trying to see the real character of the dog. Some of them were extremely playful and goofy, and some were real setbacks. Like you mentioned, Angel looks like quite the devil in that photo, and it was one of the sweetest dogs I came across. A dog named Fudge, who looks like a NFL linebacker, was also one of the sweetest dogs I came across. So it was the full gamut. It really was. Some wanted to play with my little squeaky ball. Some thought that was the scariest thing they'd ever seen.
Each dog's photo has a short description. So next to the photo of a dog named Yangtze, for example, it says he loves ice cream. So how well did you get to know each dog?
Unfortunately, not all that well. I mean, I wanted to spend hours with them after I was photographing them. I'm just a dog fan that way. A lot of those comments came from the mushers, and I was asking them for their little characteristic tidbits here and there, their successes or their playfulness, and that's where the ice cream comment came from. I was hugging and getting licks from as many dogs as I possibly could, and after my shoot, I would go around as many dogs as I could and give them a little hug and say goodbye, and that was some of the hardest part, was driving away from that kennel and watching those dogs jump up and down, and just trying to thank them in any way I could.
I imagine there are dogs that didn't make it into this book. So how did you decide which ones made the cut?
Well, a little bit of a logical perspective, somewhat of a graphic or a layout perspective as well. I didn't play favorites to any certain dogs or any certain kennels. It was simply looking for close-up headshots and then pulled back body shots, trying to work the perspective of my layout and have a nice balance, a nice scale ratio on the photo. So it really didn't matter. I didn't want too many dogs that were colored brown, or I didn't want too many blue-eyed dogs. I didn't want to put them next to each other. So that became a little bit more less emotional and more of a layout exercise for me.
How long did a layout of a book this size and length take you?
Well, that's the amazing thing about the whole book, but my passion behind it kept me up till 2 and 4 in the morning almost every day after I was done shooting. I started shooting, the first couple of weeks of April, and the book went to the printer in July 1st. So I crammed it together pretty quickly.
So you say this isn't your last book, so do you have another dog-related project in the works?
Yeah, I've been propositioned to do some human-angled photograph books, but I think I'm going to stick with dogs for a little bit. I also I donate a lot of my time to shelters and rescues, and I photograph those dogs to help their adoption rates and get them a professional photo up on their website or whatnot, and that seems to be real successful. So a possible venture is to do a book on sheltered dogs across the country, across the whole U.S. and Canada, and show some of the characteristics of these dogs that are behind chain link fences that don't have homes.
Do you have dogs of your own?
I do. I have 2 dogs. I have a little Puggle and a Wire Fox Terrier shelter rescue.
People with dogs really love to post photos of their dogs. So I wonder, how much your own dogs are photographed.
Well, not as much as they could be. I mean, some of the funniest things happen when I don't happen to have my camera or my iPhone with me, which I wish I did. I love photographing dogs that I don't know yet or get to know. I feel like I know my dogs really well, so I can almost expect what's going to happen next. It's all those other ones. It's the world of dogs that are out there that really intrigues me.